from a spiritual standpoint, if you did anything, if you touched an idol, if you touched a dead body, if you worship, you know, anything. I mean, I'm not talking about worshiping. I'm talking in the natural, just touching the sucker. You're outside the camp. There's only one way to get back in the camp, and that's to be cleansed. And you're cleansed with the ashes of a red heifer. Now, the ash, the red heifer, we haven't studied yet, so... And I'm not going to tell you all, because I don't... You know, I know what it is, but I don't want... I'm not prepared to go into the exact significance of it. But in general, first of all, the red heifer had to be burned. She had to be perfect. She had to be burned without the camp. And then the ashes from that red heifer had to be mixed with running, living water. And then a person that was clean, a priest that was clean, Levitically clean by the law, had to be the one that administered the cleansing process. And the cleansing process was one of being purified by the act of the living water having been mixed with the ashes of the red heifer being poured over you. Now, there's some other things about the red heifer that are kind of fascinating. One is that in all of history, there have only been 7 red heifers. And that, in the spirit, that process, that thing which had the power under the law to cleanse you from all defilement, when there was a willingness or a repentance. There's only been 7 animals in history that were able to do that. I mean, there's only been 7 killed. The container for the red heifer, for the ashes, had to be made of the dung of the cow that was killed, which is kind of interesting. It's like Ezekiel eating his own dung. And from that, and as a continuum, this container, if it could never, you could never just build one and then start using it. The ashes from the previous container had to be mixed in the new one so that there was a line of continuance from the point at which the fire of God physically came down and burnt the first red heifer. Now, you know enough to know that the red heifer was an amplified type of Christ as the sin offering. But not just the offering, it's the offering which cleansed everything. And it's more powerful in that there were 7 of these, and there was never an 8th, because the 7 were all in linear time, the 8th was Christ himself. Now, all this is another view or picture of the law, of all these provisions in the law being a picture of Jesus. Now, this is so important that I promise you we'll study it in great detail, but I just want you to see that for 99.99999999% of the time, up till this point in time, you have been cleansing yourself, i.e. by your own confession or by your own attempts at inward judging it. Well, should I say this? Or shouldn't I say this? or dwelling on it, or the introspection of, oh, I should do this, or no, I shouldn't say that, or everything. The reason your battle was the greatest of any that we've seen so far, and may be the greatest one in the history of the universe, is because your propensity had to be so totally against the ashes of the red heifer, so that, to make it clear so the rest of us could see. Your propensity is always and ever to cleanse yourself. It can't be done. And so all of the ideas of caution and prudence and thinking about it and all of those things, and the more inward they are, the more you have denied the cleansing process of the Father.
Not speaking.
The cleansing process of the Father is by the recognition that you're not your own. The speaking of it, from your belly shall flow rivers of living water that are automatically mixed with the ashes of the red heifer, because within this vessel made of dung are the ashes. You understand? So your ministry, if you will, was to be the most hard-headed, difficult case in the history of the known universe, so that teaching is always by contrast. You're the most incredible contrast for you, because the idea of spontaneity is impossible for you. Half up to this point.
The ashes. Are the ashes us as the living sacrifice, burnt offering kind of stuff that's in this?
It's in this vessel, because we presented, once we've presented ourselves the living sacrifice, then we have fulfilled each of the elements of the law, which includes the scapegoat, which includes the sin offering, the peace offering, the guilt offering, the trespass offering, the drink offering, the peace offering, the burnt offering, etc. But it also includes the ashes of the red heifer. So by the act of presenting ourselves without apology, without condition, without second guessing, without taking yourself seriously, that is the act of the fullness of the act, I should say, of appropriating or apprehending to yourself the ashes of the red heifer and that cleansing.
Now that's really wild, because that means then there's this vessel made of dung that is walking around, and wherever it goes, it makes disciples, because out of it are coming the ashes and the living water.
Amen.
And those who see that they are unclean will be cleansed.
Amen. See, the thing that always confused me, and you've probably noticed in the preaching about the Feast of Tabernacles, I have never fully comprehended the meaning of Christ saying, from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now in the Gospels it said, in parentheses by the way, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's true, but that's just one element of it. He was speaking much more than just that. Because in that, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, out of that, the living water is always the indicator that it's the ashes of the red heifer, because that's the water that had to be the living water.
Yeah. And it's abundant cleansing.
It's abundant cleansing. It's total cleansing. But you can't ever cleanse yourself. It's impossible.
Yes, that's good.
Confess your faults.
But it's not. It's more than what we think of as fault. It's commending yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Amen.
Without
and the act of self cleansing is when you work it out in your mind, justify it, rationalize it, figure
it out. Any working it out, I see,
anything other than this.
What happens is you'll automatically come to a place of emotional security, and therefore you'll be in idolatry.
Right.
I mean, that's what you do when you cleanse yourself.
Right. You can only cleanse yourself with the idols of the past.
Yeah.
Which means that the people you come in contact with as you go into your world,
they
die, because you've damned the living water.
Right. And again, that's why it's so imperative that Christ said, if you deny me before the Father, before men, I shall deny you before the Father. Now, the word deny there doesn't mean to say he doesn't exist. Yeah. The word deny means, it's the word that means to make a dam, to dam that living water. So, all I can say to you, Gary, is I don't care what has happened. You know, I feel for you, as you know.
Well, forget all that stuff.
But I know that without you, we wouldn't have seen this.
Yeah, well, that makes it worthwhile. Because without seeing something from it, it was a bunch of shit.
Well, do you see it now, though?
No, I'm glad. Yeah.
It's so frigging neat. And I would not have understood this at its depth had not we sat here for 8.5 hours with Mr. Wonderful here.
As I, Gary, as I was in the shower this afternoon, it just overwhelmed me to say to you, and I forgot about it until just now, but it overwhelmed me to say to you, you're not going through this for you. You're going through this for others. And it really doesn't have that much to do with you.
Yeah. Because you're not working.
Yeah.
It's got to be something.
Well, something I said the other night, I guess you were gone, but it was like, I could still be sitting there.
Well, you have been.
Well, because everything that said to me only reinforced the performance of my idol. I can take more. Right. Who's got any more? I can take a swat. I can take a... give it to me.
Right.
Give me some more and we'll see who wins. It's like... It was totally out of proportion,
right.
And yet I can take it.
Right.
But it was like the laying down of your life and what you said gave me life, or it pointed to life. Yeah. And then as I spoke, I was cleansed. And, so I'm sorry, I don't...
Well, do you understand now, do all of you clearly understand the importance of the abandonment of self? Do you understand with clarity the seriousness of second-guessing yourself or first-guessing yourself?
How
about third, fourth, and fifth-guessing yourself?
Can you feel, I want you to all emotionally and intellectually both say amen to what I just said.
This is the kind of the capping off of something that I've been studying about and talked about to Margie over there one night, you know, about how this whole line of what comes out of your mouth defiles you, and how, from your heart, and what happens when you give away what's inside of you, this charity, you know, everything is made clean and all this kind of stuff. This is the background of why that happens, rather than just this is the way it happens.
Yeah, this is the point in the law that defines the reason for abandonment.
That's correct.
Now, we've spent how many tapes or how many nights did we spend on burn offerings or
we're on number 14 for burn alone.
I know, but they were all 101 stuff.
Preamble
stuff.
Yeah, we're still surrounded.
And we're still in preamble because the reason is that you cannot even, I was hindered from teaching the burnt offering until I was able to articulate to you the fullness of the ashes of the red heifer. Because you would not have appropriated it.
Can't get into the camp unless you understand the red heifer and are cleansed by that.
Right.
See that process.
Now, this is the fruit of that.
Yeah.
I got to bed at 5:30 that night. I mean, I had a miserable day. All day it was a miserable day. Until I saw Tyra.
Doubly so.
But the idea then, it just, something that Tyra and I talked about on the phone today, it just doubled this. And that's why I was waiting for tonight to talk about it when we talked. You know, the idea that last night Tim was here and I ignored Tim again as I usually am, and he had some serious question and I just blew him off, and she was hurting for him and then but didn't say it, and so she almost came over here today during the day to talk to me about it. And I want you to understand that we are a body. And that you are robbing me, even Tyra, and robbing God, if you do not speak what's there. Now, this just indicates it 10,000 times more so. And it doesn't matter what it is. Now, the problem is that you must get down to where it is. So therefore, above all things, we must pray for discernment. But by the same token, when you, as a believer, walking in knowledge, rob or hold in, you are it's spiritual masturbation, and you're robbing your spouse.
That's far worse than that.
Yeah.
Because you're withholding the words of life.
Well, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about what you do to God, the real spouse.
I'm thinking of people that are laying in the street dying as you walk by.
Yeah, well, that's...
If you hadn't said what you said the other night, there was nothing else in me that needed to come out that I knew of. That was the only thing that was hiding so perfectly. And yet somehow the details of your sin, problem, however you want to describe it, just blew the cover. And suddenly I was naked in there. And when I saw it, it was just... But it couldn't have come unless you did that. And that was the only thing that would have done it. Like there were...
What's that one in Joel or something about the priest having to weep?
Yeah, we talked about it. You weep. The priest must weep between the porch and the altar.
Yeah.
That's the only way. In many instances, that's the only way there's life. That's why we are delivered over to death all the day long. So that life, death worketh in us, but life in you. That's why they said of Christ, and I'm sure they said it of Paul in the first, where in the hell did this guy come from? Who can speak like this? Because it produced death in the speaker. Life in the hearer.
Wow. So as we all are dying, that's what gives us all life in real life.
Man, I mean, it's like
each other getting it because of
dying into life,
pouring out.
The process is a continuum. The moment you step into the protection of self and you do it so sincerely, I just want to get the words right, or I just want to think about this. I am here to tell you that if I had done that for 10 years, you would be dead.
Yeah.
In reading those notes where it talks about fear is the separation, and so the natural man goes about to correct it by all his means, but it's the opposite of what God
Amen.
Would require. So
Amen.
As we do as God commands, we really get life.
Everybody understand?
Yeah. We're a bunch of Bible worshipers.
Can everybody say amen?
Amen?
Now this is all part and parcel of what I told you that was necessary now. You must learn to be priests. High priests. And in order, the first requirement to be a high priest is that you must be able to administer the rite of purification. Without it, you can have no disciples. You understand?
Yeah.
And the only way you can administer the rite of purification is by the seeing that out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water when you have not dammed it by your own attempts to protect your ass. That's why Jesus said, and he said it so often and so emphatically, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. If you seek to save any part of it, you will lose it. Because it's either the purification is when you now we're at a level where we must see that you're either totally, totally pure or totally defiled. You cannot be a little bit pure. If there is one spot in the new creation, you are totally defiled. It would be better for you that you were totally leprous. And the only way of cleansing has nothing to do with the external worthiness. There is only one rite of cleansing that's authorized in the law, and that is the ashes of the red heifer with the water of purification, the living water.
By a priest that's clean.
You understand?
So everybody that was ever outside of the camp, I mean, like minstrels, women and stuff like that, I mean, it all...
They had to be sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer and the water, the living water, before they were allowed to enter back into the camp. And no attempt at washing, no attempt at personal cleansing, no attempt at personal improvement could ever. They could have done it perfectly, they could have done it with exactness, they could have had the strongest soap. No cleansing by themselves could ever get them back in the camp. The only thing about you that's cleansed is when that abandonment of self is manifest. If you ever think that you're worthy of this for one instant, then you have taken a stand and you have defiled the camp. You cannot be worthy. He is worthy. You cannot be an example of preaching of 14 or 15 years. He is the example. If you analyze the preachments here in this place for the last 12 years, there's been one common denominator. And that is, the moment you tried to justify yourself, you got destroyed. I didn't care anything you did, except the moment you justified yourself, you were destroyed. Because I intuited, without seeing the fullness of this, that this is the process. You must be cleansed by the ashes of the red heifer and by the living water. And that can only come in you by your picking up the abandonment of self, the picking up of the cross, and everything is cleansed. Amen?
Amen.
Do you all understand? Somebody just outside claimed I'd never said this before, but that's not true. I've said it for 10 years.
What?
The definition of being dead to self or death is no consciousness of self. That's by definition what dead means. So when you pick up the cross or abandon yourself, those are the exact two same. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
So by picking up of the cross, abandon yourself or deny yourself, pick up the cross, that's a doubling of no consciousness of self.
And following me isn't the same.
To follow him is the automatic.
Yeah.
And it's written, I mean, it's that, in the tenses in the Greek, that's what it says.
It's like the Trinity or something.
It's just right.
It's one thing, but it's three ways of talking.
And it's like what we studied last night, when it says, fear God and keep his commandments, that's the end of all things, or the end of the matter. Well, it's fear God. The act of fearing God and of fearing him alone produces the keeping of his commandments, which is the end of all.
And fearing him is not taking security in
anything else. Or anything else. And so the process that we are going through now is simply the dissolving of fear. One of the big fears is the fear of being a fool by not guarding your words, the fear of being wrong. I mean, you, especially John, has never once, since up to this point, understood how I could just blow off and say all these outlandish things without having footnotes, without having it, you know, the case prepared. Well, the reason I can is I am totally and completely secure in who I am. There's no doubt.
You know, you're never going to get called on something by God because God accepts you and is everything you say.
Amen.
And so if you don't feel this, you know, this
you don't
fear,
have any
underlying fear of coming before the
you don't
able to justify yourself.
Right, because what most of you look at God stuff as and scriptures as preparing yourself for court or for apologetics or for going to battle or that's not what it is at all. And it's two totally and completely different ways at looking at discipleship or scripture. My way, my singular common denominator has been to make disciples. The only way I know of to make disciples isn't to teach you the scriptures, that's ridiculous. Is to show you there's no fear and destroy your fears. I mean, I've looked like a fool 1,000 times before you. 10,000 times.
Who's got me?
But I mean, do any of you think any less of me?
Better to be a live fool for a moment than
hard
dead.
Well, that's true. It is. I mean, you can't. There's nothing in me that's worthy of respect, except one thing, and all of you are scared to death of that. As well, you should be.
Somebody say what?
You're scared.
You go ahead.
You say what?
What?
You said that.
Well, God has so constructed us, He set eternity in our heart that no man can find out the beginning or the end by himself. That's what the implication is. The reason that I so challenge you on your definition of God, or whoever, Pam, the other night, was the idea that you must come to the understanding that you cannot have, you were made that way, the right definition or the right imagery of God. Because if you could, then the salvation of the isolated self would be possible. You are only a member of the body, and the body as a whole is the one that defines or is empowered to see God, not you. You understand?
Yeah.
That's why the laying down of your life one for another is the only thing that God sees as a body. He does not give one iota about your individualized attempts other than seeing the end of your idolatry. He doesn't care about your individual prayer life. He doesn't care about your individual study habits. He doesn't care about your individual activities in the world. That's all gone. It's dead. He cares about preparing a bride. Understand? Do you understand that the definition that you haven't picked up the cross, you haven't abandoned yourself, is any time when you're thinking of yourself. Anytime you're seeing yourself, your lack or your positive or lack, that's God's signal to you to pick up the cross. It doesn't matter what the effect of it is. It's absolutely meaningless. That's why most of the time don't pay any attention. You come and talk to me about a problem, I don't give a shit about your problem. Anything that causes you to place your eyes on yourself is simply the Holy Spirit's way of showing you, you must die this day also. Now, pick up your cross. Because if you have a consciousness of yourself, positive or negative, that means that you haven't picked up the cross. It doesn't matter what self is doing. It doesn't matter whether self isn't meeting some standard that you've erected. It doesn't matter whether self is judging, or self is in pity, or self is worried or selfish, seeing lack or doing anything. Let nothing, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. That simplicity defines that the moment you take on a concern and try to work on that as a problem, you are no longer seeking him. And the moment you do that, God is going to, by his Holy Spirit, cause your own worst fears to come upon you. And all of your how-tos, and no matter how you pervert this gospel and this doctrine, to take it as an instrument of how you should do this to solve that, he will only allow your own worst fears to come upon you. Because the Holy Spirit is in the world for only three things: to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because you believe not on him, you haven't abandoned yourself. Of righteousness, because he's gone to the Father, and of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Therefore, anything less than that in the arena is a meaningless concept. God doesn't give a hoot about anything in that arena except those three things. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, the promise is, when you see that, then all needful things will be made unto you freely. If you don't see that, then you've made the cross of Christ of none effect, and you must work in the arena of the curse, which means that you must work by the sweat of your brow to cause that which is necessary for your sustenance to be manifest. And you will always fail, because you're trying to build your house. And you have, by his grace, he hadn't wiped you out, because by that act you are defiling the temple of God. You are trying to make an offering, whether or not you know it's God or not, you're trying to make an offering, and therefore it's as if you put swine's blood on the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat. You understand? Do you understand this is the same thing I've told you for 10 years, 12 years?
You know, what's funny is that when you say that people say you've never said it, and then you say you've said it for 10 years, it's never something that you've said for like 3 years. It's always 10 years.
I'd say it's the truth, because nothing I've ever said has changed.
Some things are
13 years. Huh?
Some things are
new. No, they're
not. Details.
But who cares? The one simplicity.
John cares about
it. All right, buddy, I don't care. I don't care what he cares about. The simplicity of the gospel says that none of this is necessary. Abraham didn't have any of this.
The last two nights, the first few words of the Shema have kept going through my mind. It's like, that's all you need to hear. Hear, O Israel.
The Lord our God is one God.
Period. End of story.
Can you see the lie, though? Well, it's a dumb lie. You don't have to pay attention to it anymore. It's a simple, childish lie.
Okay.
just be like Abraham. I'm not going to do that anymore.
I'm not doing it.
Did Abraham have a body?
Huh?
Did Abraham have a body, or was he seeing the whole body?
He had a body. Who was it, the body? Where two or three are gathered.
Sarah.
Sarah and Isaac.
Sarah and Isaac. Yeah,
he never had, no, Eliezer and Lot, nor all the rest of them were never part of the promise. You're a part of the promise. You are the promise. You are living in the promise.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll
we are far more fortunate than anybody that has ever lived.
That's the truth.
Anybody. No, what we have is all of the things that they have done for our benefit. Amen?
I was thinking of Abraham and this extended family of people who, you know, it might be Abraham, Isaac, there might be two or three in a row that were coexistent there for a while, you know, and there was always, you know, and then the 12,
man,
you know, sons who became the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
But remember, again, ever and always, the covenant has always been the same. Everything up to that point was just showing different aspects of the singular covenant. And so that's why I'm saying, it's ridiculous to call this the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. It's one covenant.
It's like the Trinity. It's one thing.
Amen. It's just different aspects are showing. It's there so that you can see more clearly. It's the architect's model in great detail.
Today, in the middle of my pity party, I was listening to David Gold, and he had some Christian book writer on there who was talking Christian language and stuff, and had gone to a conference and was describing the outcome of the conference. And what it was is both Christian psychiatric counselors and Gentiles, you didn't call them Gentiles, had come to the same conclusion that the main problem in the mental community that's had disturbed is they have a low self-esteem. And it was like that was the focus from both sides, was to help them improve their self-esteem. And here I am right in the middle of it. And yet, when I knew, I said, that's bullshit. And that's exactly what I wanted, though. It was in my self-realm situation. I wanted my self-esteem to be better. But I could recognize the... That wasn't it.
For a second.
Pity committee.
Pity committee.
Speaking of that, God, the word Emmanuel, which is one of the names of God, means God within us. That's what it means, the word. It says, the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. And then he's talking to, that's the promise, right? Now, if you don't see that, then here's what happens. Associate yourselves, join as partners, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, help yourselves, save yourselves, of all far countries. And you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. It says it twice. It doesn't happen very often. Help yourself. Save yourself. Gird yourself. You shall be broken in pieces. Associate. Make alliances. You shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together. It shall come to naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand. For God only is in us. For the Lord spake thus to me. With a strong hand, and he instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. If there's one thing that I knew from the very beginning, is that I could never walk in that way ever again. Say you not a confederacy, an alliance, a gathering, to all them to whom this people shall say, this is a confederacy, or this is church, or this is... Neither fear ye their fear. Neither be ye afraid anymore. Sanctify the Lord only of hosts himself. Sanctify means see him as totally set apart, totally apart. And let him only be your fear.
Let him only be your dread. And he shall be for your sanctuary. The word sanctuary means everything that you can emotionally imagine from it. The place of rest, the place of food, the place of anything that you desire. That's the meaning of sanctuary. He shall be your sanctuary. But for any with alliances, a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, for a gin and for a snare. Many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken by him when they're broken and snared. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look only for him. Amen?
Yeah.
Isaiah 8. Let me borrow your...
Wow, churches is this confederacies and alliances.
Man.
Place.
Comfort ye, my servants, saith your God. Speak comfortably and cry, that his warfare is accomplished. His iniquity is totally pardoned, and he has received of the Lord's hand double for all his sin. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness has spoken, and the way has been prepared. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord hath blown upon it. His people has been as a grass. O Zion, let the word, the truth, the life standeth forever. Now, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid ever again. Behold, the Lord is come with a strong hand, and his strength shall rule in this vessel. His reward is with him, no longer behind him. And his work is no longer in front of him. His work is now behind him. Now you, as a shepherd, shall feed. You shall gather lambs. You shall carry. And you shall gently lead those that are with young. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Holy Name. Thank you, Father.
Father, let me walk in your brokenness, not lifting myself up, not being stiff-necked, but sing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And speaking as I sing.
Now you who have walked in great darkness, you have now seen this great light. You that have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon you this day has the light shined more brightly than you've ever imagined. Unto you the child is born. Unto you the son is totally and completely given. The government shall be all on his shoulders, never again on yours. His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace in this vessel. Of the increase of that government and peace there shall be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has performed this. Praise your Holy Name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now we have declared our love as a body to this vessel.
Yeah.
We cease never again. We'll never stop ceasing to pray for you. We desire and are confident that you are filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, all spiritual understanding, so that we are confident you will walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every spiritual good work, increasing, ever increasing in the knowledge of God. You are now strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, but with all joyfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks unto the Father which had made you meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has now delivered you totally from the power of darkness and has translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son, forever and ever, surely anchored, never again to wander. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise your holy name. Now, Father, I thank you for this year also, that through him you have shown us your great power. And now we expect greater things than these. You've loosed his tongue. You've seen and cleansed him by the ashes of the red heifer. He shall never again see his own filth, for he shall look only to the Lord of hosts and live. We praise you, Father, never again doubting his inheritance. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Holy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Harry calls us
assault marine.
The assault marine.
Yeah, yeah. Care if we come back a lot.
Yeah. We're like a CB.
This is the first one.
And the war. Jenny and I sat and talked last night, and she says, "You're a warrior. You're," but not in a positive sense, because I was mighty, mighty emotional. But emotional without being disturbed. And in this, I see the warfare is against the idolatry, and it's against the sliminess of the power of these idols. And we can't get away with it.
Now, do you all understand, not for him alone, but for all of us, that we must exhort one another daily while it is still called today? Amen. Not allow even for a millisecond your eyes to go on yourself. Amen?
Amen?
And speak it out of existence. That's your authority.
While we're praying for Gary, this thing kept going through my mind. Go forth as my people, look neither right nor left, but keep your faces to me as a queen.
Take it, big guy.